Good evening, Jones family.
Good evening. Speaking of the Jones family, Quinn told me just before I hopped on here when I was trying to put her to bed that she wants to come on the podcast and talk about Taylor Swift sometime.
I'm always happy to talk some tea swizzle up in this bizzle.
Why are we surprised?
Right.
At Quinn or me?
At Quinn. I'm not surprised by you, Jeremy.
I don't even know. We must have been coming home from... Ellie was the only one in the car with me, so we must have been coming home from wrestling practice, and she asked, she's like, can we go to Disney World? And I'm like, oh, maybe someday. And then she says, can we go see Taylor Swift? And I said, oh, well, we're going to watch the movie. And she's like, no, I want to go watch her. And I told her that everybody wants to go watch her, so it's very hard to get tickets because there's not enough
room. Yeah, going to Disney World is cheaper.
At this point, yeah.
It would be at this point for all of us, yeah. Yeah, it was just funny how she went from Disney World to Taylor Swift.
Where would she even...
She's six.
Where would Taylor Swift even play near you guys? Like, where do...
She would have to do it because she was just bored and wanted to, right? Like... Maybe Seattle would be the closest. Denver, potentially Spokane.
Right.
Like in 60 years when she's lost a small amount of her fame.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever see her as being one of those aging musicians that's going to play at the local fair. That's just not going to happen. No. Unless she just gets super bored and just wants to.
Yeah.
I don't know. She'll be like... What, a resident in Las Vegas eventually, so maybe there's that chance.
Like Celine Dion, residency.
Yeah,
or Adele.
Hasn't she like been super sick and not really done it?
Yeah, I think she's pretty sick.
Yeah,
like I think even Garth Brooks had a residency. I'm curious though, like they can't possibly do the same type of shows every single night, like. Like the Eras tour. There's no way that could be like a 4-hour show with 27 costume changes. I mean, I suppose it could, but
I don't know.
Seems like a lot.
I don't know.
Me neither. But yes, I would love to talk basketball and Taylor Swift and what's it like to be double digits with Quinn at her convenience.
Yeah. So I told her sometime, maybe. I told her maybe around the time the new Taylor Swift album comes out, which is
in April.
April.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
We could, we still have to do the Beach Boys.
We do, episode, yeah.
Speaking of the Jones family.
Yeah.
So we could make your dad suffer through a Taylor Swift episode also.
Yeah.
We could do the new album. What's it called? Something about poetic justice. Poets and Tupac Shakur.
Something.
I know what it was, but it's named after the group chat that her ex Joe had with his friends.
Really?
That was like the name of his.
See, I didn't know that much.
Tortured Poets Society.
Tortured Poets Society.
Dead Poets. Okay, yes.
Tortured
but
Poets.
That was the name of his group chat with his friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that she wasn't included in, so she must have got some of the tea from it. Ooh.
Maybe.
There's going to be some salty singles on that bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of group chat? Like, what do you mean? In Discord or something? How do you...
Text messages? You can make a text group.
Yeah. I guess you can name your text groups. You're right. Yeah.
And Facebook. And true. I suppose AOL. I don't know. Fuck.
AOL.
I wonder who is in the Tortured Poets Society.
WhatsApp.
Joe Alwyn, or however we say his last name.
Oh, so I thought that the Tortured Poets Society was about Taylor and other people.
Well, it might have been.
Maybe he talked about her, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was his group chat.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
with his friends.
Yeah. Gotcha. There was a mole on the inside that spilled spilled the tea to her.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Can't blame them.
And every day they woke up and said, "Good morning, oh captain, my captain."
No, they didn't.
Oh.
No, totally.
Why would she lie about it?
She is lying about it. She was.
No, just making a joke because Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, I love that movie. We've talked about
it. I was going along
movie.
With it. We all love that movie. Even us non-native New Englanders love that movie.
Speaking of movies, part of the reason we haven't had an episode in a while is because Jeremy wanted to try this experiment, and it didn't go well. He messed up.
It rarely
up.
Does.
Yeah.
As usual.
Yeah. He erased a whole episode.
Thanks, Daniel. There goes the last 6 weeks of therapy that I was making progress in. Now I feel shitty about myself once again.
No, it wasn't you. It was me. So we did record a commentary track for Fellowship of the Ring, Part 1 and Part 2. And I have Part 2 sitting on my computer, ready to go. But Part 1 is completely missing me, except for 17 minutes of it, for some reason. So we're going to have to, rewatch Part 1 of The Fellowship of the Ring and re-record that, and we'll try to put that out some other time. But I told Jeremy that I just was really not feeling up to doing that tonight. It's a hardship having to watch one
it's
of
all
the
right.
best movies
it's,
ever
it's
made.
It's not like those movies are going anywhere. We could, honestly, we could just, record all three movies. Well, re-record the first half of the first movie and then the other two movies sporadically over the next few months, and that's what we could release, at the end of July and August when we're busy and on vacation.
Oh, that's a good idea. That is a good idea. Yep. So, yeah, look forward to that whenever we decide to put that out.
And plus, Coley refuses to be on those with us because Daniel won't let her.
No.
Beg you just agreed. Just agreed.
Beg me.
So we don't want to lose
she won't. She
our audience of Cousin Phil because there's a lack of Coley on the show.
our audience of one. Right. True. We don't. No.
So there's that.
Oh, and also speaking of the Beach Boys, I went to local record store this weekend and bought a couple of Beach Boys vinyls. Very excited about it.
Yeah, first pressings?
One is a first pressing. The other is a reissue. Cool. From I don't know when it was reissued, but...
Which vinyls did you get, Daniel? I will humor you for you a moment. Okay, that's enough.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I already have Pet
you
Sounds.
Shut up.
I already have an original pressing of Pet Sounds in my collection.
Okay.
But I found an original pressing of 1972's Surf's Up, which is my second favorite official Beach Boys release. A reissue of Wild Honey from 1968.
Okay.
Which was they followed up Pet Sounds with Smiley Smile, which was scrapped versions of Smile songs, and then Wild Honey came after that. And I love Wild Honey. It's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Raw, unprocessed.
You both just made the same joke. I think you canceled each other out because nobody can understand either one of you because you spoke at the same time.
No, they get it.
So, works for me. So anyway, I'm very excited about that because I woke up Sunday morning and I was like, I think we have a record store in town. I would like to go to that. So I did. I went with Quinn. And it was nice. It was a good little record store. And they had more Beach Boys vinyls, too. And I just didn't buy them.
Whoa. Pace yourself, buddy. I just got those. You got birthdays. Exactly. You got Christmases. You got...
Precisely.
St. Patrick's Day coming up. And Easter. And a birthday. I mean...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Chill.
Exactly.
Did Quinn buy anything? Did she find a Taylor Swift album?
She looked through the CDs, but they were all, quote, old people music.
Oh, she didn't buy any Morgan Wallen, did she?
No.
No, I'm young.
She's collecting her... She is expanding her collection of Taylor Swift CDs.
Yeah, she just bought Midnights.
She just got Midnights with some Target gift cards that she had.
The good thing about Taylor Swift is, like, you can buy all of her albums twice, and they're not really the same album, technically.
It's true.
Yep.
It's true. No, she's going everywhere. We got her a nice Discman, and so she goes everywhere with that thing. She sits in the car in the back seat. She has that on. She's singing to that. Well, Dan and I are,
that's like, awesome.
Up front talking.
Yep.
But she goes. She wanted to go. We're going in a store in some places we can. She's like, "Can I bring my Discman in?" We're like, "No, you need to leave in the car."
Did you have to buy like a vintage one, or do they actually still make those?
No, they still make them. We had gotten her like a $20 one, and it broke pretty quick. So for Christmas, Santa,
good old Santa
made a more expensive one for her.
Oh.
And
I mean,
it's durable.
Did Santa make it, or did he use his slave labor elves to do it while he gets all the glory? He's the worst kind of capitalist.
Probably that.
No, this one's cool. We haven't used this function, but it even has, like, Bluetooth where you can connect it to your phone and it will play your phone. I don't really know. Or, I don't know. It has Bluetooth functionality.
So you can just connect it to an external speaker. Yeah, that's cool.
Or you connect it to an external speaker.
That's probably more what it's for than your phone, Daniel. But yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
Still. It's cool. So what's new with you?
You know, just working and going to wrestling matches and meets and tournaments. And
So Ellie is
fog lights in my car today.
Oh, nice. Wait.
What?
Fog lights?
Yeah.
Okay, explain to me what fog lights are compared to headlights.
So, so headlights are obviously hot headlights. Fog lights, the way they should function to be true fog lights is they're usually a yellow or amber color, and they're lower to the ground.
Oh, they're those lights.
Okay. I was going to say they're lower to the ground, right?
Yes. So a lot of new vehicles have them, and a lot of old vehicles, but a lot of the new vehicles are just LED white lights, which are pointless as fog lights. So, like, when you drive at night in snow or in actual fog, LED, the brighter the light, the worse it is you can see. So, I do end up driving a lot in fog and snow at the dark. So, my car...
Because you go to work it early, right?
And my new car didn't come with fog lights. So, I decided I wanted them, so I bought a factory fog light kit and put that on today. Except the factory comes with bright LED fog lights. So I bought Diode Dynamic Elite Series Amber actual lights to use in place of the factory lights. So I just use the kit from the factory that has like the switch that goes in your dash and the bezels that have the holes cut out and that sort of stuff. So that's what I did, Daniel.
And they work well?
Well, I haven't driven it yet, but they should.
Yeah,
they
true.
Work.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 2 o'clock when I finished.
Good testament.
It was light and it wasn't foggy. But, so, like, here's the thing. The last few vehicles I've had, I've made lots of upgrades to. But what I don't understand is, like, all the wiring, all the mounting plates, all that shit is already there. So, like, if you buy the lower level trim, they build them all the same. They literally just don't put, like, the little switch on or whatever. Like, with my white pickup, I put all kinds of stuff on that all I had to do was buy the thing and plug it in. That just makes no sense to me. So, on my Subaru, like, the place where you bolt on the actual lights and all that. All that stuff is already there. The wires are already completely ran. So all you got to do is bolt on the lights and plug in the wires. And then there's like an instrument panel, you know, inside that has like your lift gate and like your memory for your seats and all this other stuff. And there was like a blank space in it, just a black one, which is normally where the fog light switch would have went if you would have gotten the fog lights, like from the factory. Okay. So you just have to like pop out the clips and pull out like the bottom half underneath the steering wheel or the dash, and then pop out the blank and then put in the real switch, and the wire is already back there. You just plug that in. So like it took me like 30 minutes. And I'm not very good at this sort of stuff, so it's not like I'm just like super talented. And I just don't understand why they go through all that work and then don't just put in the extra $100 worth of parts when they've already spent a lot of effort making sure the stuff was there so somebody else could. It's weird. Anyway.
I wouldn't know that like, stuff was there.
So, like my white pickup, it was like a base model, right? It didn't have anything. But underneath the seats, it had all the wiring for power seats, heated seats, cooled seats, all that. So you could go to like a junkyard and get the seats that have that wiring and those functions, and then you could plug them in and you would have all that stuff if you wanted to.
I would never think to do that.
Well, I don't know. It's
no.
No, that's smart.
But why do they do that? Like, why do they go through all that effort to do all the hard work and not just finish it?
Money?
I suppose. But they've already put money into it. Is it just so that they can sell higher trim packages? Like, is it cheaper in production to make them all the same way? I suppose it probably is.
Yeah, probably.
Yes,
probably.
and then they can sell... They can charge even more for a higher trim package than they can if they just sell them all at the base model with
all. No, I get that. But why even put them in? Why put all that? Like, they could get more money if somebody took it in after.
Well, because they're not going to change. They're not going to change the
manufacturing.
Yeah, they're going to manufacture them all the same exact way, but they're just gonna leave out certain functions. It's video game DLC. It's
horse armor.
But
it's already built in. You just gotta pay to unlock it. That makes sense when you explain it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Just so they can make money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it is.
So next I'm gonna mount a factory hitch on it so that I can get a little pop-up camper or something. Yeah. Nice. I still think it's cheaper to buy that stuff and do it yourself than to pay for the upgrades at the factory, though. Because...
No, I'm sure it is.
Because
they know most people will not do that. Most
the
people
tow package is like a $1,500 add-on, and I bought the entire kit for like $360. Shit.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. You just answered your own question.
Anyway, you were asking about Ellie before I went on that rant. I'm sorry.
Yes, I was. She's.
But I was just going to say, I had an ex when I was much younger who told me that when you're driving in fog, you turn your headlights completely
out.
You can see. And that's how
you
would drive
see
in
better,
fog.
But...
Yeah, that's...
Well, I mean, I presume...
Because other people
Coley,
can't
don't,
see
don't
you.
Take this the wrong way, but when you say much younger... I'm going to assume, like, at least 20 years ago, before...
Oh, yeah, I was 19.
So back then, almost all cars had, like, parking lights and fog lights. So that was true. Like, you could turn your headlights off and generally see better in the fog and the heavy snow. Because it doesn't reflect the light as well. And they were usually amber-colored, right? Right. So, yeah, bright LEDs in a snowstorm are awful when you're driving in it. Anyway.
Yeah.
So there was a function to it. They look cool, too. Don't get me wrong. I like the way they look, but there was a real reason.
Bef- Before we get to Ellie. So you've been having crazy
weather? No. Well, we have. Yeah, it's been insane, frankly. But not in the way that you might be expecting. So we've had...
Okay.
Like 90 degrees bad, or something? Today is February 20th. The last 3 or 4 years, at least, maybe 5 or 6 that I can remember, we've probably had 40 to 50 days of at least 15 below temperatures by this point in the year.
Yeah.
Maybe not 15 below, but at least like 10 below, 5 to 10 below. And we had like 5 days of it only so far. And it's been super nice. We've had so little snow that the ski hills opened, the one closest to us opened finally in like January, had 3 days where they actually opened for business, and then they shut down for the rest of the season because there's not enough snow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We did have some snow last week, and most of that's still on the ground, but it's melting fast. But yeah, we've just not had cold weather or snow, and that's highly unusual for us.
So do ski the mountains excuse me not make snow in Montana?
They can, but there like has man-made? To be apparently like a base to hold it.
A base,
yeah,
right.
And
okay,
it's supplemental, it's not, they can't.
Yeah, completely. And I can't speak for every snow hill or ski mountain in Montana. This is just the one closest to us. But I know they're all struggling. Most of them open late, and they're having a real hard time for it. The one closest to us is a pretty small one, but I do know they have snow-making capabilities. But it's just bizarre. It's not been a very productive year for snow, so which means all the farmers are freaking out now. Because there's not going to be runoff this spring, and that impacts them and their livelihood and all that good stuff. So,
right. It's almost like climate change is a problem.
Always been a problem, Daniel. It's been a problem for billions of years before man came on Earth. And it's never going to not be. Should we not litter and use clean fuel? Yes, we should do these things, but we shouldn't expect it to save the planet because nothing's going to save the planet. We're going to blow up in 4 billion years no matter what. But I've been noticing what?
So we had to in class this week, my discussion post was on a global health emergency, and most everybody in my class picked climate change and global warming.
No, I know you think that I don't believe in climate change.
What? That sounds very vague. Why did they choose?
Because you had to pick, like, the WHO, the World Health Organization, classifies only so many things as, like, a global health emergency. And climate change is one due to air quality and stuff like that, which then affects the health of people.
Okay.
So then it had to be related back to, because it's a community health class.
Yeah. What did you choose?
Ultraviolet.
Well,
rays.
I mean.
Which cause skin cancer.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I was the only one that picked that.
I mean, the thing about climate change is that as the Earth gets warmer, the potential for viruses
including cordyceps
higher because including cordyceps. That's right. because it's easier for them to survive and breed in the warm weather.
I thought it was interesting that the majority of my class
I don't think that's interesting.
Climate change. One person did secondhand smoke.
Everybody there felt, if I'm being honest. I don't know. Maybe it's different here because we don't really have any air issues here because we're so unpopulated and spread out.
It's not so much the air issues that are a problem here.
Coley just said that's why people picked it. That's why I was referring to that.
okay.
Yeah, but not in this area. Not in our area.
Gotcha.
Specifically. Right? You wouldn't say, would you?
Yeah, I mean, when you get into the cities, it's not as awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but... I'm
but, I mean, I'm in school with people...
Oh, yeah, okay.
So. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's online courses, so...
Wasn't thinking. I get it now.
I'm reading, well, I'm not anymore, but I listened to Lost World, Jurassic Park sequel by Michael Crichton. And I thought it was interesting because he had some, through Ian Malcolm, the character that Jeff Goldblum plays, is like the main character in that movie and that book. And in the book, there's some lengthy, like, passages where Ian Malcolm is just talking for what sounds like pages and pages about human beings and our impact on the planet and everything. And it was just interesting to hear a book from, like, I don't know, 1995 talking about all this stuff. And not only that, but, like, he... There was this long passage where he was talking about the World Wide Web and how in nature there's this phenomenon that scientists have studied where the more populated an area is with any type of creature, like... you know, if there's a lot of flamingos on an island, they've found that the flamingos will evolve slower if there are more of them than if there are fewer of them. And that for some reason, in like smaller numbers, there's the survival instincts are stronger. And so he was saying that basically, like, his theory, and, you know, this is the character in the book, but this is, you know, an interesting theory, I guess, is that, like, the more connected we become through the internet, and this was, like, 1995, so the internet was very new, but the more connected we become through the internet, the more... the less innovation and the less we will evolve as a species because we will become more, what was the word? Like...
Complacent.
Mono... No, well, yes, but mono... monocultural, mono... Where we all thinking the same. What is the term? Yeah, the Geth from Mass Effect, yes.
I understand what you're saying.
No, you know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
Like a hive mind.
Like a hive mind kind of thing, yes. And it discourages free thinking and innovation and, you know...
Sure.
Ideas that aren't the norm, which is often where, you know, innovation and evolution come from. New ideas and new concepts. I know that just went way far of climate change, but think that all kind of relates. I thought it was
like you're kind of shocked that people were talking about climate change in 1995. I think part of like
no,
like I've been hearing about it, and Coley, I'm sure you have too, since I was in like first, second grade. Like, and it's always this new thing. It's always the ozone layer, and it's the chlorofluorocarbons, and it's aerosol sprays, and it's this, that, and the other. And then we spend billions of dollars trying to, quote-unquote, fix it, And generally that money goes to people that have started these companies that have been granted money by the government to start these companies, and they become billionaires. Like, it's, I don't know, it's, I don't think that we can sit here and do nothing when it comes to climate change. I just don't think that, like, all these suddenly scientific, foolproof answers are necessarily what they seem. For example, we have a lot of wind farms here. And, like, for the amount of power that they generate, they are constantly bringing in new parts because every part of those has to be changed every amount of time. And the landfills that they have to put those things in that will never, ever biodegrade are insane. And, like, all these companies got their start with federal funding, and all the people running them are just becoming super, super rich. And it's not even generating enough electricity to run a rural community. Like, I don't know. It's, that part frustrates me. But,
you know, the problem with all of these solutions isn't the solution itself. Like, wind power and solar power, these are things that, and nuclear power, like, these are all clean energy solutions that we've known about and mm-hmm. have existed for almost a century now. Like, people have known that this is all a possibility for a long time. We've just never had the infrastructure to really implement it. The problem is that our society and our government and our cultures and our global economy is not set up well to implement these things to a degree that they would actually
work. But we don't really know if they make any kind of real difference. Nuclear power totally could have been a thing.
They would if we completely committed to them, they would. And that's been proven in countries that have completely committed to them. They would work. I want to say it's Switzerland or Norway. There are countries that have gone 100% clean energy, and it's been a huge boon for their economy. But the problem is that we're doing it in a way that it's not accessible to everybody. It's like, if I want to get solar panels, I have to put them on my house and I have to pay money to do that. And then I have to pay money into a pool in order to save money every month. And then, you know, we have a neighbor who recently got solar panels put in, and she was explaining to us the cost of it and how she figured out how much it's going to cost her every month. And I was going through the math in my head, and I was like, we don't even spend that much in our electric bill monthly as it is. So that's not going to help us at all. So these kind of things, they're not the way that we've set it up. It's we're just helping these companies grow. We're not actually helping people save money on their electric bills or anything. We're just helping these companies make money with the solar panels by selling them to people. But it's just recycling the money, and
Does your neighbor ask her with her solar panels, does she have to subsidize that with any other power? Can it single-handedly run her entire household? Like, not even close, right?
No. No, it can't. Right. No. So she's not only is she paying close to our electric bill on the solar panels themselves, she's then also paying for her electric bill, which went down 50% or something. But then she's paying 75% of that, you know, that amount on the panels themselves, and in the end, like, it does not seem like she's saving any money at all. So just the systems that we have in place it just doesn't work. And yeah, I don't know the deal with wind farms and how they work. And so we have solar panel farms here because a lot of the farmers in the area just sold their land and mm-hmm. people came in and they set up solar panels. And we'll drive down the road and you'll just see fields full of solar panels. But I don't know what the fuck those solar panels are doing.
Not, I don't know what are those for? There, but like a lot of people were doing that. And a lot of them got grant money to do that, and they had to keep them for a certain amount of time. But once that time runs out, they're essentially plowing them under because it's not generating anywhere near enough power, and they can make a lot more money planting corn, right? I don't know. Like, if I don't know a whole lot about it.
Right.
I feel like if we really wanted to make an impact, we should invest more in the nuclear power because that seems to be the biggest bang for the buck, honestly. Like, I don't want to see those nasty stacks all over the country personally, yeah. But I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like all the different things that we're trying and pulling is gimmicky for very small results. You know, electronic vehicles, it sounds great, but the resources it takes to mine the crap to build those things is devastating. At least it seems to be. And
right. Yes, it is. It is devastating. Yeah. It destroys local and habitats maybe it gets and that, water supplies. I don't know supplies. What
you call it, saturation point or that point of break even and it becomes better. I don't know. Like, nobody really knows. And in the meantime, mm-hmm. you have people like Elon Musk and others becoming crazily wealthy over it. In part, yes. Exactly.
Well, like, and the government is subsidizing him becoming crazy wealthy because they're just pouring money into him. And, you know, he's basically in charge of NASA now at this point. Like, I mean, that's an embellishment, but, like, you know, NASA's basically been handed over to Tesla.
Yeah, no, it has.
Yeah. Or to SpaceX at this point. And it's bullshit. And we're
NASA's
just subsidizing
this. Isn't like Ted Cruz like the leader of NASA or some shit? Like, it's just insane. No, I think he is. I think he was like, you know, like, because there has to be like a. Know. Yeah, like, I mean, not like technically the leader of NASA, but like the oversight person or whatever, something. Is he not still a senator?
I thought Ted Cruz retired from politics.
What? I don't know.
Am I wrong?
I haven't paid attention for so long. I thought
he wasn't a senator anymore.
Anyway.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
I do think that we need to be better stewards of our planet, no matter what. And I do think that smaller places like Switzerland and Norway probably have a much better chance of being self-sustainable because it's easier when you're smaller. You were kind of talking about it with the whole internet thing. Once we all get together, it makes things harder. Like I truly believe that because there's too many people that have stakes in it and nobody,
right.
Everybody gets selfish and puts themselves first and what's in it for them. Also, every time I hear somebody talking about studying evolution of animals, I just scratch my head because evolution takes thousands and thousands of years. Like, how do they do that? Not that it matters. I'm just curious.
I don't know. Yeah. Probably
using like a simulator, but again, that's
fossils and
not
stuff like that.
Real. That's just what you. I mean, it's just we're talking about a theory in a book. I get that, right? So it's not like it's real life, but I've heard it in other things, like, you know,
such
has evolved over the last several years to, you know, be resistant to whatever. It's like that didn't just happen over the last few years. That's been thousands of years in the making. Anyway. Good talk. Yes. Mm. Please don't litter. Don't run the toilet if you don't have to when you're brushing your teeth.
So, yeah. No.
Yeah, Quinn.
Don't take 20-minute showers like our daughter does.
I mean, yes, I think we should all do our
Quinn.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should be in such a rush to fix things that we don't know how to fix, where we just sometimes make it worse.
I've told Coley many times that, like, we've talked about how I would love to have, like, an electric vehicle, but I don't want an electric vehicle if we don't have solar panels, because there's no point in, but I don't want to do solar panels with the way that it works right now. Like, it's just not cost effective. And especially our house, I had somebody come out, and because we have so many trees, they were like, oh, we would just have to install twice the amount of solar panels, which means it would cost me twice as much money.
There's, I'm like, no, that doesn't car make companies, any sense rival at all. Car companies, like, I'm that not banded that. Together. I don't know which one's right off the top of my head. I just read it the other day. And they have essentially abandoned their EV production and plans and have switched to water-based power. And, like, I remember many, many, many years ago, like, reading the story about this guy, like, in the 50s, created a water-based motor, and, like, the government shut him down. And I don't know how true that is. I don't know all the details. But these two companies, I want to say it was, like, Ford and Mazda. It was two companies wouldn't expect working together. They're going to pull their resources. And basically, what they plan on doing is using water, and the steam will reproduce into the water that, like, it's a closed channel system or something like that. You don't have to fill it with water constantly. Like, it just recycles, it catches its own waste, more or less.
It recycles.
Yeah.
It catches its own steam, I mean, that's, and turns it back into water, just like a cloud. I think
potentially to get excited about. Yeah. But, you know, it's still in the very early stages. I don't know.
Yep. I've heard about that, too. I didn't hear about the two companies banding together, but I've heard about that technology, yeah. And,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. What was I going to say? I don't know. I'm sorry. I lost it. Yeah.
It would be.
That would be cool. I don't know. My dad sent an article the other day. Messenger.
Of course it is. Coley, are you?
It is named, actually. It is. Coley, now that I think about it, it's totally named. Ooh. It's called Jones Family.
I know what the name of your next album is going to be.
She took herself out of it. I took myself out of it many years ago. Because.
Not in the Jones Family chat.
So, we have this group chat, and he sent this article about. It was either him or Dave, my brother Dave, about this technology that somebody's trying to develop that would be like a space station, a thing, something in space that would block, I don't know, long story short, it would help to stop climate change, basically. And it's just like...
Seems pie in the sky.
That just seems... Exactly.
I mean, I feel like there's sci-fis of that, and you just live in a bubble. It's called, like, an ecosystem.
Biodome. You
bubble over.
Yeah, no, it was like
a self-sustaining ecosystem.
Yeah.
Biodome, thank you. Yes. I couldn't think of it. I knew what I was trying to say.
With Pauly Shore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it's just like, man, can we just...
Yeah, I mean, like, legit, can we just get back to the basics. The fucking, like,
planet.
I don't know, man. Like,
I don't know.
I really don't know.
I mean, I remember in the 90s, it was probably 1990, I was boycotting Coca-Cola, which is, like, my favorite thing in the entire world, because at that time, I heard or I don't know, that they were, they, their practices supported the depletion of the rainforest, and I got all,
I mean,
you know, righteous indignation and wasn't going to drink Coke anymore.
Yep.
I mean, I,
you know, I saw,
I'm hoping their practices have changed because it is my favorite drink ever.
I saw a video about this town in Mexico that people drink Coca-Cola.
I think I've heard
they
a little
do
bit
not
about
drink
this.
Water because their water supply is
Coca-Cola
is
contaminated
because of Coca-Cola, and Coca-Cola because of that Coca-Cola, I think, just provides them with Coca-Cola or something, or because there's a the factory there or something, they just. So
oh my goodness.
Everybody just drinks Coca-Cola so, because it's nice. It's cheaper than
Dooms
water.
The name of the town.
It's cheaper than clean water.
We're going. We're moving there.
But no, but it, like it's very unhealthy for everybody.
Well,
everybody
I
there has
the
diabetes
so what do they get the
because all
Flint,
they
Michigan,
drink is
like
fucking
old
Coke.
Milwaukee? They got the
like,
sugar.
What do they get?
Yeah. It's. I don't know.
Like,
yeah. I don't know. Fucking
listen, if it I mean
I don't know, I can't,
I gotta admit there's times where some sort of government oversight is good, because if we didn't have certain things in place in this country, those big corporations would still be pumping all that poison into the water streams unchecked, and you know, they wouldn't stop, they just wouldn't,
right?
So we could be Mexico, we could be worse.
No, they wouldn't
when it comes to that sort of stuff. But you can also stop people from doing terrible things like that without giving the next guy $25 billion to research, you know, the effects of two fire ants fucking 40 times a day on, you know, the atmospheric pressure, right? Like, you don't have to do both those things. Yeah.
Okay.
So. Recycle. Yeah. She is.
So, Ellie is wrestling. Recycle. She, I've watched your videos of her wrestling.
She had a bit of
I don't want to
a bit of a
wrestle
fall
this
off
kid.
On Saturday.
She would kick my ass.
She's
tough.
So, this is technically her third year wrestling. The first year... some things happened, and she and Autumn both wrestled, and I think there was a little too much pressure and whatnot, and they both ended up quitting before the season ended, which, looking back, is kind of the catalyst to Alicia and I's separation, because I just did not like the way that they were being treated as 4 and 5 year olds, right? Over something that was supposed to be fun. So the next year, Autumn absolutely refused, but they convinced Ellie to try it again. So last year she wrestled and she did okay, but it was fun. Like, I enjoyed going, like, it was fun to watch her. And then this year she kept saying that she didn't want to do it. And then about the last 2 weeks before it was time for signups, she had said that she wanted to. And just from my end, I told her that if you're going to do it, you have to stick with it and you have to try and you have to make it till the end of the season. And she said, okay. Yeah.
We have that rule too, right? Like, we'll let Quinn try anything. I mean, you know. That's not gonna, but she has to stick with it through the time of whatever that activity is, and then she can choose to not do it again.
And it's, you know, this is Ellie's third try, so she knows what she's getting herself into. And she did finish the season last year. It's not like she quit last year, but just didn't put in a lot of effort. So when she first started practicing this year, it was similar to last year, but then after a week or two, like, she just changed and she started trying and she was listening and she got pretty good at it. And she won her first six matches by fall, by pin, like, easily. And then, so Friday night, we wrestled, and we didn't get home until 10, and by the time showered, and or she had a bath, and the girls had a bath, and they had a little something to eat, and in bed, it was past 11 o'clock. And we had to get up super early to go drive a long ways to the wrestling tournament on Saturday. And Saturday, the first match, she went out there, and she won, but she wasn't, she wasn't as aggressive as she was on Friday. She wasn't going for the legs. Like, she just was kind of there. And the second match was on a mat kind of far away from where I was. So I went over there to watch. And Cooper was coaching her. Cooper is Alicia's son, so Ellie's brother. And some schools allow parents to come down, and some schools don't let anybody come down except coaches and wrestlers. Well, this school, they let people come down, like, close to the mat so you could video and actually see it. Because sometimes it's really hard to see because they have eight matches going at once, and there's people all around the mat, right? So unless you're up high and they're on a mat near you, you really can't see your kid. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I went down there, and she wasn't, I mean, she wasn't coming out fast. She wasn't going for the leg. She was just kind of like flapping her arms at this girl. And she ended up losing by technical fall, which means she was losing by more than 12 points. So they call that technical fall. And no matter how much time is left, it's over. And she jumps up from the mat and like comes running to me.
Okay.
And is just like holding me like tight and just like bawling, right? And, you know, I hug her and tell her I'm proud of her and it's okay. And it was the first time she'd lost this year. And, you know, Cooper was, I'm not going to say he was yelling at her. He was yelling because you have to, but he was trying to coach her and trying to get her to do certain things like maneuvers and whatnot. And she just, for whatever reason, like she would look at him, but she wasn't really responding to what he was saying. And so Cooper and I were actually kneeling right next to each other. And then around the corner on the other side of the mat, Alicia had come down. And I told Ellie to go give Mama a hug and come back and sit because it was my time, right? And I don't care if she goes and sits with Alicia when it's in those situations when it's my time. I don't care at all. Alicia won't let them do it with me, but it doesn't bother me. But that's not the point of the story. But she absolutely refused. She did not want to go see her.
Yeah.
And I...
Yeah.
She wanted me to pick her up, so I picked her up, and I was like, all right, well, say bye to Bubba. Tell him you'll see him at the next match, and she wouldn't talk to him at all either. Bubba is what they call Cooper. So, you know, I knew why she didn't want to go see Alicia, because she didn't want to get yelled at, or she thought she was going to get yelled at. For not winning. Yeah, it's exactly because it's happened. And she just refused. So,
and the same from Cooper.
She wanted to go get something from the concession stands a little while later. So I took her out and we were in line. And Autumn comes out and tells Ellie that Mama wants her to go see her right now. And so we got our stuff and we go back in there. And I'm like, I will go up there with you. And she wouldn't budge. And then she ended up losing her third match by decision. She did make it all three rounds. It was actually pretty close, but she just wasn't putting in the same effort she had on Friday. So I don't know if she was tired. I don't know if losing that second match just devastated her. So we'll see. But she is doing much better this year. She's had a pretty good season. All she has to do is place in the top eight at divisionals to make it to state. So she should make it to state, and then who knows what will happen. But anyway, Alicia was really upset. And when we were leaving, Angela was crying, like, super badly in the car.
Yeah.
And Autumn said, "What's wrong?" And I looked back at her, and I said, "Oh, she's just sad because she's going to miss Mama today." And Angela said, no, that's not it. And I'm like, well, what's wrong? And she said, Ellie wouldn't go say hi to mommy. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then she said, and then mommy started crying. So, like, Alicia had put it on Angela. Like, she, I don't know. Like, and that upsets Angela. And I get it. Like, I'm sure it was painful. I'm sure it hurts. But it ultimately, yeah. I don't know that she'll ever admit or come to understand that. So she told Angela, she I guess she was asking Angela, she's like, did your dad tell her not to come and talk to me? Did your dad tell her she couldn't come and see me? So she puts Angela in the middle of this, right? And I never said that. And Alicia knows I didn't say that. She just can't accept the fact that her reactions, which have always been poor with everybody, is what's causing Ellie to not want to go and deal with her.
Yeah.
So she has to blame it on something and somebody else. And then my poor 8-year-old daughter, who's already emotionally vulnerable on a good day, is taking the brunt of it. And it's all for a sport that was fun. So wrestling season started out super fun.
Right.
I don't know how it's gonna end, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She goes to every match. She has custom hoodies and T-shirts.
Does Alicia go to every match?
You know, in a tiny gym full of 800 people, you can hear her no matter where you're at. Which is good. Like, it's good that she's supportive of them. Like, I scream pretty loud, too. But, like, you know, just in the times that Ellie lost last year, as soon as she got over to the side of the mat, like, her and Cooper are just telling her everything she did wrong, everything she did wrong, everything she did wrong. And then be like, but I'm proud of you. And I'm like, you got to lead with that shit, right? Like, I truly believe, she's 6 years old, I truly believe if they let her embrace it on her own, she would probably like it, and she would probably be pretty good at it. But the pressure is just a lot.
So I find that, like, when a kid shows that they have some talent at something, the parents and coaches tend to, and I catch myself doing this sometimes too, put more pressure on that kid. And they, like, I have a couple of girls on my team who are pretty good, and I tend to expect more from them. So I will coach them more to a degree, right? Because there's more that they can do, and I expect more from them. But I have to catch myself, right? Like you said, like, I have to definitely, and I've been trying to work on this this year, but, like, lead with the things they're doing right. And especially, like, my assistant coach is the father of this girl, Delilah, who's one of the better kids on my team. She's probably the best player on my team. But she's sloppy, and she makes a lot of mistakes. And she, because she's probably the best player on my team, she has a bit of an ego, and she thinks that she doesn't need to listen to us all the time. But what tends to happen is that her dad will really pick on her during games. In practice some, but I notice it during games. And what happens is she'll shut down, because he'll be yelling at her from the sideline, you know, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And it's, I have to tell him, like, stop. You gotta stop. Because she hears it and takes it in and shuts down. It does not help. Like, she just gets frustrated and will, gets a little indignant, and I don't know. It's
No, but Quinn does the same thing.
Quinn does the same thing.
I mean, so I don't normally go to their practices, but I've gone to two. And the last one, I don't even remember what it was I said, but I said something during that practice, like, you need to. I don't even remember what it was. It was something, it was just a pointer. It wasn't even.
No, you didn't even say anything wrong.
I didn't say anything wrong. It was
because it was coming from you.
A pointer, and literally. Her whole body changed, her face changed, she shut down.
Yep.
And it was this, because it came from me, because I'm normally the, like, great job, good, you know, in especially the games, you know, I'm just there to cheer everybody on. But because they, what she felt was a criticism of how she did something came from me, she shut completely down. So in the car ride home, I was like, you can't do that. It is not fair to the rest of your teammates. It's not fair to your coaches. Like, you cannot like what I'm saying.
Yeah, at one point in the practice after you did that, she just stood there during a play, like a scrimmage, right?
Yeah.
And she just stood there. And I literally heard one of the girls on the team be like, Quinn, what's wrong? Why are you just standing there?
Yep.
Like, she was just standing in the middle of the paint, in the you know, the below the free point, the free throw line, and just, like, standing there, not moving, not watching the ball. Just standing as though she was in a trance.
Yeah, I mean, for that's about 5 to 10 seconds. As a parent and a coach.
And
but
I'm like, what not is overreacting going on to that is tricky. This kid right now. And she just. But it's. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And. But then at the same time, like, I have to remind myself that it is fun, it's supposed to be fun. And these girls are working really hard. Like, our game this weekend, because Quinn was sick, we had 6 players versus a team that had 10 players. And they crushed us. But my girls were working so much harder because they weren't getting any breaks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had 6 players, so they each got 1 break for the whole game. Except, like, 2 girls got 2 breaks. But the rest of them were playing the entire game. And they were tired. And by the end of the game, I was just like, you know, you girls did great. I know you're really tired right now. You know. And I had told them the last game that we got completely destroyed in that they need to play 100% the entire game, no matter what the score is. Because what happened was we were down by so much. I told them that it just looked like they gave up. They stopped trying. And I was really adamant that they didn't do that this time. And they didn't. They played the whole game. And they played really hard. But, you know, I had to remind myself that, like, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of running back and forth and a lot of exercise. And these girls don't, you know, they don't exercise, I don't think, much at all. So, you know, they're not in the best shape. But I did have one player who's young. She's in 3rd grade. And this is her first year playing basketball. She's never played basketball before. And she made a shot in this game. And as much as we got killed in the game, I was on the bench talking. Well, I was actually talking to Delilah because she was sulking and mad at her dad. And she was sitting out for 4 minutes. It was her 4-minute break. And I saw this other girl on our team shoot and make a shot. And as soon as it went in, I jumped up off of the bench and I was so excited. And the thing I have to remember is that, like, 10 years from now, that girl is not going to remember that we lost that game or how badly we lost that game, but she is going to remember making that shot. And I was very excited about that.
Yeah.
It was the first shot she's ever made.
No, I know. In a game. I wish we had been there. Quinn was just heartbroken to not be at the game. So, for as much as she gives you crap about going to practice and, you know, being like, oh, yeah. She was just devastated she couldn't be at the game.
Yep.
So.
Anyway, kids sports.
Yeah, now we're on to soccer, which she's never played before.
Yeah, which thank God I'm not coaching.
No, you're definitely not coaching. But she's never played before, and she's going to be, you know, with kids that have been playing since they were 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting.
She'll be the goalie. So.
And I said to her, you understand soccer is like continuous running. Like, that's all you're going to be doing. Because she hates it. Well, she wants to be
goalie. She does.
And I'm like, I don't know if you get what being goalie really is. Yeah. Like, you don't just get that. So we shall see how this goes. And she'll be on a team with like girls that she's friends with, but that have been playing forever. So this will be interesting. So maybe she will. Yeah. I made it 10 years.
You saw me playing soccer with her, and you were surprised that I actually know how to play soccer.
I try to leave soccer in my past. So.
Where's that, babe? Where's that?
Because my ex was a semi-pro soccer player.
I'm not a soccer mom, but a soccer wife.
So I spent...
She was a soccer wife. Very long time.
I was a soccer wife for a very long time. Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, maybe.
It is not a place that I love going back to, but I'll do it for my kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. They're not bad memories. It was just.
Yes.
You know, traveling. It was just a long time.
All the time.
Lots of soccer games. Lots of. Travel I imagine for soccer, that
situation
so.
Is even worse.
You know. But. Yeah, it was a lot. But it's okay. We'll be fine. But it was funny, like, we were in Target the other this weekend, and they had some cleats on sale. And you can tell she's just looking at them, and she's like, no, I don't.
For every really child. Like these.
I'm like, they're cleats.
Well, because everything's a fucking fashion show for our child. It's so not about like, the sport.
I'm like, they're cleats. They're cleats, Quinn.
Go get some mud she's on like, them. Go get them dirty. They should color. Be brown anyway.
It doesn't matter what
run
color.
Run hard.
You just fucking, you wear get them. What you get and you don't get upset. Exactly. Yep. That's why you get them in black because... They're going to get covered in grass and shit anyway.
Oh, so we had a fun... this what? Just reminded me. We had a fun experience yesterday.
What did we do yesterday?
So we both had the day off and Quinn had the day off. And so we took Quinn ice skating. Oh. Took her ice skating.
I was going to say, she got roller skates for Christmas.
So Quinn has ice skated two times in her life.
But she's been roller skating. She got roller skates...
Yep. So she's Christmas. Been roller skating.
And she's been practicing it. And she's gotten very good at roller skating. Mm-hmm. I mean, not very good, but good enough that she's able to, like, stay up and go, and she does pretty well.
Right, because roller skates have 4 wheels, where a ice skate has 1 blade. But that's neither here nor there. So I finally get skates on her that fit. Now, I know myself well enough that me... ice skating is a trip to the emergency room, so I do not put skates on. So, and then Dan decided he wasn't gonna skate either, so she's just out there, and he is, Jeremy, I'm not joking,
because she was skating poorly,
asshole. Just an asshole. Like, I just wanted to go on another place in the rink and not be near him, because she was holding onto the wall, and he just, that was unacceptable.
I was not saying that it was unacceptable.
She can roller skate. She needs to let go of the wall. I don't understand her problem. Like,
I was saying that she needs to have confidence in herself. She can do it better than she thinks she can. And as soon as she let go of the wall, what happened?
But I was trying to
say... She did way better.
Right, but you were saying this when she was halfway around the ring for the first time. And she's like skated twice before. Like, he wanted her just be, you know, like Tonya Harding already.
No, I didn't.
Just like Nancy Kerrigan, just like doing triple lutzes out there.
You are putting words in my mouth. I never said anything.
Just being an ass about it, right? And then she would, like, other people would be on the wall and she would stop and wait. And he's like, she needs to just go around them. And he was just being just the biggest jerk. So finally,
watching Daniel
I
hug
see
the wall.
Him get up. And he goes and gets skates for himself. And you know what the best part of my day was? Watching him hug the wall and then fall.
So let's dive into
and
this. What
fall.
Were you really upset
and
about?
I was laughing
it was
so
a
hard.
Very comical fall, too. I only fell at one time, but it was quite a comical fall.
And
I wasn't. I'm telling you, I have been practicing roller skating with this kid now for a few months, and she's done a really good job. She's made a lot of progress, and she's really learned how to do it. And I'm very proud of the...
You think so?
...the progress she's made, and it's a lot of the same movements. So I just thought, if she can roller skate, she can ice skate. She just needs to have confidence in herself. The problem is, here's what I was trying to say to Coley, is that if she's holding on to the wall with two hands, by the way, not one, with two.
Do you hear him?
So she's holding on with two hands, and if you can picture that, you're right up against the wall. So there's no way you can really properly skate up against the wall like that. You have to give yourself space. You have to give your feet space.
Okay.
I know how to skate better than I actually can do it myself. So she needs the space for her feet. And if she's hugging the wall, she doesn't have the space to skate the way that she knows how to. So I was just telling her, you just have to let go and trust yourself. And as soon as she did, and I said to her, you're going to fall. You just get back up and you keep going and you're going to find that you do really well at it. And here's the thing, Jeremy, I have no problem with the way that I was parenting because I was proven right. Because by the end, she was doing it and she was off the wall and she was watching me and how bad I was doing. And she was like comparing herself to me and she's like, psh, you stink. And I'm like, good. You're having the confidence that I want you to. And by the end, she was skating off the wall and she was doing well.
I also put in there that when she was skating off the wall and you went out there was when I changed her skates. And so she went from figure skating skates that had broken laces that had come undone. So she had no ankle support. And I put her into hockey skates. So she had some ankle support.
Right.
So there were mitigating factors.
I didn't know about that.
But you were just such an asshole.
But I'm telling you, I was vindicated because once she let herself go and started trusting herself, she did much better.
I know, but you have to give her some grace.
You
got
to give
her
some time. It's like if you teach somebody to drive
once
a car and you're using an automatic.
Maybe I
and then
didn't give her enough time.
They get pretty good at it, and then suddenly you put them in a stick shift. Even though they've already good at driving, they're still going to need some time to get used to that. It's slightly different.
Have I talked about the time that I learned how to drive standard on this show?
I think we all talked about this, actually, once.
I think we have talked about it.
We did all talk about this. You're just trying to change the subject.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you motivated Quinn. There's a fine line between, you know, motivation and humiliation. And sometimes it's not easy to straddle that.
Listen, I knew that it was going to be embarrassing with me going out on the ice. But I knew that I had to so that I could show her that she could do it.
You're going to end up on YouTube or TikTok. You know that?
It was a very comical fall. It was like
it's going to be like
a cartoon.
That generic TikTok voice. Asshole dad yells at daughter and then gets humiliated in the end. It's just going to show.
Have you ever seen like the cartoons where they're like skating or something and the character just like the arms are going in like a windmill motion.
That's not a cartoon. That's literally me when I try.
And that is exactly what happened. I spun like Wile E. Coyote for like 5 seconds.
It was awesome.
And then fell and then dropped.
Oh, it was awesome. Quinn I was laughing so hard.
I'm sure you were.
There was a guy behind me like on a business call and I was cracking up. And I was just like, I'm like, sorry. He was just on the phone call and I was dying laughing. Anyway. Because karma.
So is she going to play hockey now too?
No. Oh, fuck no. Before I changed her skate, she came up and she was crying. And she was like, I hate this. I just want to be done. And he's like, let's go one more time.
Is
he's not giving her any grace.
Horse season over?
Horse season will most likely be starting up again this summer.
Yeah.
We are a one activity family, so it's one activity at a time.
That's funny.
So she went from horseback riding right into basketball, and then she's going right into soccer. But where she rides has summer camps, so she'll do a couple weeks of summer camps and get back into it that way. So.
Horse camp.
Horse camp.
So, fun. Joe and I are going to PAX East in the end of March.
You are? I'm glad they're still having those shows.
My activity. Yeah, they're still having them. Started back up. I think they missed a couple for COVID.
The end of March, like Easter weekend?
So it's the weekend before Easter. Yep. I found out Giant Bomb's going to be there today. That's exciting.
That's exciting.
They're going to have a panel.
Wow. The day you're going?
I think they're going to do a live voicemail dump truck, which I'm very excited
about.
Oh,
gosh.
That'll be fun. Good
but
for you.
On the day you're going, though? You got to plan that out.
That's true. That's a good point.
He hasn't told you he's going both days. He just hasn't told you that yet.
No, he's not going both days.
No, we're only going one day. That's a good point.
He made sure to tell me he was only going one day and that they weren't staying.
That's a good... We have to figure out what day they're doing.
How far away is that from you?
You're right. It'll be a 2-hour drive.
Okay, not too bad. So yeah, close enough if your car, quote-unquote, broke down, Coley could still come and get you.
No, it's fine. I mean, they can go for the weekend, but it's his 40th birthday present, then.
Yeah, the big 4-0. How you feeling about that? It's coming right up.
Doesn't feel any different.
Yeah. Give it two or three more years, it'll start feeling different.
yeah totally.
I'm closer to 50 than anything else. It starts to feel different.
Oh gosh, that hurts.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. No, we're going to Michael Jordan's steakhouse for his 40th with our neighbors Harold and Stephanie, because Stephanie's birthday is the 20th, April 20th, and his is the 24th.
Michael Jordan has a steakhouse in New England.
Huh. Yes.
Yeah, in
the casino.
Mohegan Sun.
Okay. Of course, in the gambling place. That makes sense.
Yes. I'm sure there was, you know, some backdoor dealings going on when they decided to open that restaurant. Because I can imagine he was in a lot of debt.
Probably.
You chose that restaurant, though.
I did, because I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
And I it's very expensive, so there's not many times I'm ever going to go there.
It is very expensive. And they have steak flights.
Yeah. Steaks that fly.
Right into your mouth.
Sweet.
Yep.
Like beer flights or wine flights, they have steak flights.
Okay.
And.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can try like.
But it seems
the
kind of thing
like
that's
platters
like,
of meat that come out.
That you would order with a large party because, like...
The cheapest one is like $140, and it goes up from there.
Well, and it's not like a small amount of meat. You get a full filet, you get a full ribeye, a full New York strip or Kansas City strip, I guess they call it.
And sausage. Who wants the sausage?
Yeah.
And then there's another one that's like a tomahawk steak and a ribeye and a Kansas City strip and lobster tails.
Give me that one.
And crab cakes. Going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, right?
What's that one? $2.50?
That one's $3.50.
Well, you're only going once. You're only going to be 40 once. Yeah.
I know. Well, honestly, I've thought about getting that one and splitting it and with the table.
Like, keep your totally... keep your shit up. Yeah. You're not going to make 41 anyway. So, bust a hip trying to show your daughter how to freaking motocross or something, and then
see,
die. And
see, here's the thing: the last time I went on roller skates or any type of skate.
We ended up in the emergency room.
We did end up in the emergency room mm-hmm. for me because I fell on my tuchus.
And your wrist.
And my wrist, right. But it was my tailbone that really hurt.
Yeah. The day before we moved into this house.
Was that it?
Yep. It was the night before we moved into this house. And the best part of it was he was standing still up against a wall.
I was.
And then just bit it. Just his legs went out from underneath it. And he went down as hard as he could go.
I wasn't even on the ring.
You know, he was on the rug.
I was on the carpet. Yep.
And then I looked at him, and he was pale.
See, that's why you just gotta say, Coley, oh my gosh, your beauty makes me weak in the knees.
Is that what it was?
You gotta come up with something to smooth that over, Daniel. Make you seem...
Here's the crazy thing. I used to rollerblade as a kid. I did rollerblade as a kid. And then I even rollerbladed. There was a girl that I dated. Speaking of the casino, she was a crazy fucking... she was a gambling addict. And she also rollerbladed. And we would go to places
winner.
And rollerblade
I hope,
together.
I hope...
What?
Yes. This was right after my divorce. The first girl I dated
what
after
if,
my divorce.
Hear me out.
For like what 2 months.
What if semi-pro soccer guy and roller
and I could do
roller
it.
Derby girl are dating now? Rollerblader girl. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be amazing.
I feel better. So just tell that story. So this girl, I met her through work because my boss at the time was like, oh, I just hired this girl to be an aide for one of our clients in his house. And she's great. You should totally meet her. She like hooked us up. I was like, sure. Well, turns out she did not know this girl well enough because... She was a psychopath. And so she, one day we were...
Rollerblading?
We went rollerblading. And then she just was like, why don't we go down to the casinos? I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? You know, something to do. And so we're on the way to the casinos. And I was like... Which one are we going to? Foxwoods or Mohegan? She's like,
she's been
oh, I can't
blacklisted.
Go to Foxwoods. I'm not allowed there. So I'm like, you know, alarm bells are going off in my head. I'm like, okay, this isn't a good sign. And she explains to me that she won like $60,000playing blackjack couple years ago, and ever since anytime she gambles, she only gambles with that money. And I'm like, okay, sure.
Liar.
You know, whatever. Yeah. Well,
so
I don't think I really believed it at the time, but I definitely don't
believe
it. So
she needs to work as an aide? Did she, like, rollerblade to
yeah.
from work on her $60,000?
Did the rollerblades interfere with her ankle monitor?
So then we get to Mohegan, and, you know, we go to the blackjack tables, which, like, I've never been to the blackjack tables, we're walking around, and she's saying hi to all the dealers, and they all know her name. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I kid you not, she puts 1,000 down and loses it in, like, one hand. And she, because she went there with 1,000, right? And she's like, this is all I'm going to spend. I was like, okay. And she puts it down. She loses it in, like, 2 minutes. And then she's like, God damn it. I was like, it's all right. You know, let's you know, call it quits. And she's like, no, 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 no. And she starts going to the ATM. And I had to, like, physically drag her away from the ATM so that she wouldn't get more money out. I was like, no, I'm not.
Why did you care at that point? Not,
this isn't. So I broke up with her that day.
Just blade on out of there.
Well, because she
drove. They went there on her rollerblades.
She drove in her rollerblades. Yeah. We broke up.
Yeah, because it's not me that rollerblades or the gambling.
No. So.
Great. I got to hear stories about both of your exes counter. Tonight. I feel like I know you guys so much better.
I know. Isn't that fun?
Her ex who played soccer also had a
turtle. Oh, that's Turtle Guy.
Quinn,
okay.
Quinn refers to him.
That's Turtle Boy.
Quinn refers to him as Turtle Boy.
Yeah. Full circle. It all comes back around.
Well, it all comes back.
Yep.
But when you go to the casino, you go with $20. You put the $20 down. If you win the $20 back, that goes in your pocket, and everything else that you won, you just get to, like, play with.
Do you get free drinks at the casinos there while you're gambling?
Yes.
Do you still?
Yeah, I believe so. You're supposed to tip them.
Oh.
But if you're there for a while, they will come and bring you drinks.
So, like, we live pretty close to the casinos.
Yeah.
Foxwoods and Mohegan.
Yeah.
And we go literally for Krispy Kreme donuts and the food.
Yeah, we don't gamble.
We don't gamble. We will walk through.
We go to the restaurants.
Yeah, we go to the restaurants.
We'll go to a show.
We'll go to a show. But we don't actually, like, do any of the gambling.
And then
we'll do a slot machine once in a while.
A 12-pack of Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. Oh, you got to
do the Krispy Kreme. That's the only place you can get them in Dunkin' Donut country.
Yeah,
it
pretty
is.
Much. Yes.
It's Dunkin' Donuts or go to the casino for Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my God. I just thought about that.
What?
Do you think that the only reason Krispy Kreme is in that the reason Krispy Kreme is only at the casinos is because that's the reservation and everywhere else is not the reservation. So, like, Dunkin' Donuts has, like, a fucking stranglehold on the market outside of the reservation, but in the reservation, they're like, no, fuck that. We don't want that. Bullshit.
I mean, it could be because, like, a lot of the common restaurants we have here, they do not have.
I don't know. Maybe the dude from Yellowstone negotiated with Krispy Kreme to have them in all the Indian casinos in the country.
I don't know. Like, because they have, like, Johnny Rockets. Where else can you go Johnny Rockets?
Well,
like,
there's Providence. Other Johnny Rockets. There's Providence. There's one in West Hartford, I want to say.
Yeah, but there are some Krispy Kremes around. Not close to
there
us.
There was one in Rocky Hill, but that closed down.
Well, now I want Krispy Kreme. Hmm.
Better go get a 12-er tomorrow.
I have active shooter training tomorrow, Jeremy, so I cannot do that.
Yeah.
That is my day.
Active shooter training.
It was supposed to... Yeah.
2 days.
It was 2 days
of active
shooter training. It was supposed to be...
In person.
Told that it was verbal de-escalation training. And then I'm becoming a train the trainer to bring back to my organization to train them on verbal de-escalation skills.
Like MOAB training or some other kind of training?
Yeah, kind of, but, like, not physical, okay. Right?
Yeah.
So I am a train the trainer for, like, CPI, which is crisis prevention intervention, and it has the verbal component and then a physical one. And then this is a different, it's ALICE training, and it was supposed to be verbal de-escalation. And you have to do, like, a pretest.
Yeah.
And, like, some trainings before you go. So I did them this afternoon. And it's all active shooter, which is totally not what it's supposed to be. But I'm just going to go for my 2 days in-person training.
I'm curious to hear about this, though. Because if because it being in person, it's in person and it's being held at a school.
Yeah.
Which presumably the school is on vacation right now. So my guess is you're going to be getting chased by some dude with a gun.
Here's active shooter training should last about 3 seconds. Just say shoot back. That's all there is. That's all you need to do. Like,
is this Connecticut, Jeremy? All carry guns.
So the other day, the Air Force Base in Great Falls, Malmstrom Air Force Base, was put on lockdown because of an active shooter. And they rallied the EMS and Benefice, which is the hospital I work for, and the Great Falls Clinic Hospital, all called in the trauma surgeons and all their trauma teams, and news outlets were reporting that family members were arriving at the hospitals and all this stuff.
Huh.
But it turns out it was just a training that somebody didn't get the memo on that was a training and fucking called it in.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it was like a mock code.
I guess. But, so,
and somebody really called it in for
real. I guess I don't really know because they don't have details. So here's the thing. Apparently, like, it became this huge deal, and the Cascade County Sheriff did this news conference with the Attorney General, where the Attorney General cites Montana Code 873694, whatever, right? Where in the fucking, some bullshit of fucking 1896, like when Montana was annexed into the Union,
yeah,
that the agreement at that time was that any military operations, compounds, whatever that were within Montana that Montana gave land to, would jurisdiction would still go to the state of Montana, right?
Okay.
Except if the crime that's being committed, in this case on the Air Force Base or wherever, was committed by a military member against a military member, then the Air Force, in this case the Air Force, they have their own police unit, would have jurisdiction. So, all, like, apparently they got a whole bunch of the Cascade County Sheriff's Office inside the gate, including, like, the undersheriff to start up this, like, command center, right? And then the Brigadier General, whoever the fuck the leaders of Air Force bases are, I don't know what they are, what their title is, right? Then he ordered the gate locked and nobody could come in or out. So half the sheriff's office and city police, for that matter, were inside the Air Force base and the other half were locked out. And they weren't allowed to communicate with each other. So it became this big pissing match between the Air Force and the county sheriff. And I don't know whether or not that ever got resolved or where it's at, but the county sheriff was pissed. And anyway, he's the one that essentially said that it started out as an active shooter drill and it must have turned into a crime for them to be able to take over jurisdiction, but they wouldn't tell him anything, so he didn't really know what happened. It was confusing, but like, the crime could have literally been a false reporting, right? Like, and of course the military wants to keep things as hush hush as possible, so once they can justify eliminating the local authorities from it by calling it a airman on airman crime, then they will. I don't know, but yeah, it was just crazy how, like, in a small town, because Great Falls is huge compared to where I live, but it's still a tiny town, like, just how that escalated so quickly, where the news outlets were like, family members are already arriving at the hospitals to find out the status of their loved ones. That's, like, it made it sound like there was this mass casualty event,
right? Huh.
It was not. Oh, right? So I guess it's good they took it serious once they thought it was, but
right.
So everybody looked stupid. The sheriff looked really stupid, and I think that's why he was so pissed.
Yeah, right.
So when I was working at the health center that I used to work at, We had a patient come in, and he threatened my staff. He threatened to come back with a gun and shoot my staff. And so I alerted, you know, who I needed to alert. And the COO at the time made me stand outside because I could recognize him when he came back. And so I'm texting Dan, and he's like, "You're in the line of danger." I'm like, she's making me stand outside. I don't know what to tell you. The cops aren't here yet. It's just me standing outside the health center waiting for him to show back up. And then my mom had like just moved here. So I see her like literally. So where the health center was is like down the hill from where she lives and down the street from Stop and Shop. So my mom, being like new to town, is like, walk to Stop and Shop to get some groceries, and is walking back home all during this like threat. And I'm standing outside and she's waving at me, and I call her. I'm like, "Don't wave, just turn around, go a different way home. There's somebody coming back with a gun to like come shoot me and my staff." She's like, "Why are you outside?" "The CEO told me to stay outside. I don't know what to do." And then like literally 2 seconds later, the police show up. I see him coming down the hill, and they like arrested him on the spot. Like, it was crazy. But she made me and stand outside by myself. Like, everybody else went back in and went on lockdown, and I had to stand by myself outside, like, she's to identify him.
Mm-hmm. Now she's CEO.
She was COO at the time. Now she's CEO. I was like, thanks so much for valuing my life.
Didn't you have somebody threaten you with a gun at your other job, too, when you worked in Holyoke?
I mean, that was every day.
Tell me you're in Connecticut. There are no guns. Clearly there's guns. You need to get a gun, Colby, and just shoot back.
I mean,
yes, babe.
Legal
we
guns.
We do need to get a
shoot
gun.
Back.
Listen to Joe.
So in our active shooter, we don't really have training. It's part of our annual mandatory education. And you have to choose which scenarios to run, hide, and fight in. And I just think it's so stupid.
Right.
I don't know.
But there's no verbal de-escalation in that training. In an active shooter, you're not going to be like, "So can we just for a second, would you like to sit down? I want to hear you. I can't hear you when you're yelling at me. So if you could please just," like, that's not like, so this training that I'm spending 2 days in and not being at in the office is for not even what?
It's not even the proper training,
but it's okay. I will go and go do it. But the video was wicked funny. They were like, "Oh, yeah, watch this scenario." And this guy gets up from a classroom and he's like, "Because you made me fail last time." And he has this gun. And then everybody in the classroom starts throwing balls at him.
They just happened to have balls.
They all had rubber balls. And they threw them at him and then tackled him. And I'm like, so now am I supposed to carry a rubber ball everywhere I go? Like, this is what this training is saying. They all just had rubber balls.
You throw your purse or whatever you have.
No, I know, but it was just very funny that they all had these red rubber balls and threw them all at him to distract him and tackle him.
That's funny.
And I was like, does everybody just have to carry rubber balls around now?
It's like stress relief ball. Yep. Just have it with you at all times.
There you go. That's what they were. They just threw those. I was like, I don't know about this one, but that's okay. And then they did a whole video on, here's two scenarios that you may never get to practice, but you should know how to do. Break a window and jump out of a second floor window. And they like walk you through it, and they're like, but you'll never get to practice this. Just remember these things.
It's the new stop, drop, and roll.
Right? I mean, it's true.
In the event of a nuclear warhead coming your direction, hide under your desk.
Yep.
Exactly.
I guess that was actually tornadoes. I never understood. We would have these tornado drills where we would hide under our desks, but we had a nuclear bomb shelter in my elementary school. Like, why couldn't we just go there if there was a tornado? That makes more sense. It's literally right below us.
That makes much more sense.
Do you get tornadoes out there?
No, I grew up in South Dakota, Daniel. Thanks for remembering who I am.
Yeah, but even South Dakota, do you get?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. I didn't know that was a tornado area.
Yep. There have been tornadoes in Montana, but there's not many.
When I lived in Louisiana for that 3 months of my life, that was the longest 3 months ever. But I didn't understand why there were so many, like, so I had a one bedroom apartment and the bathroom had no windows, and then there was two separate closets that were like on the interior of the apartment that had no windows, and they didn't make sense until I was like talking to people at the hospital and we had our first tornado warning, and I was like, oh, that's what those are for. You can tell I'm from Massachusetts. I had no clue.
Remember when Quinn was younger and we got a tornado warning here?
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, you made us go into the basement.
Camped in the basement.
Yep.
Sure did.
I just was like, we're not getting a tornado right here in our house.
Nobody Listen. Thinks they are until they do.
Exactly. Follow the rules, we Dan.
Didn't, we didn't get a tornado.
Follow the rules. It said go in your basement. I took my family.
You don't have a basement. Hide under a sturdy wall. Go in your bathtub. There's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
If you're outside, lay in the ditch.
I've heard you're supposed to go in like door frames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's reinforced. Yeah.
No, my mom went in her basement too. Don't remember we talked to her back and forth. We all just camped out in basements for a while.
I used to go in the basement when I was a kid too, in my parents' basement, but I.
Your bedroom was in the basement.
I basically grew up in the basement. Because TV was down there. My video games.
How was that bedroom. Different?
Yeah. All right. So anyway.
And look, we come right back to weather.
Look
it's
at
like
us.
We started.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah. Full circle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Save the polar bears.
We should save the polar bears.
Poor bears.
Although we saved the grizzly bears and now those fuckers are wreaking havoc, so maybe we shouldn't save the polar bears.
What, how are the grizzly bears wreaking havoc?
Because there's too many of them. They're
the
like
Montana thing I don't know about.
So for a long time there were very few grizzly bears left in Montana.
So this is this is just a replay of the whole wolf situation?
Yes, exactly. That's
exactly. Did you guys not learn that fucking lesson with the wolves?
Right? So, Jesus. Yes. And now, and because the weather's been so warm, like, they don't even know what's going on. They're not really hibernating. So, they're even crazier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. All the animals are fucking thrown off by the weather. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
But are grizzlies, so this is, I'm going to sound very suburban at the moment, but are grizzlies brown or black?
They're brown.
They're brown. So if it's brown, lay down. If it's black, fight back. I know that.
Right. Well, so generally speaking, at least around here, the black bears aren't anything you got to take. They're probably not going to attack you to begin with, right?
Yeah. Like, well, that's why you fight back, just to...
Yeah, like you can scare them off by being loud.
Exactly.
Being
that's
like, what I mean. Hey, bear. Grizzly bears and brown bears, because grizzly bears are different than just normal brown bears.
Okay.
But grizzly bears are much more aggressive, territorial, bigger, stronger, faster, that sort of stuff. So, you know.
Working harder, make it better, do it faster, makes us stronger.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
So anyway,
I remember watching a documentary about the guy who trained the bear that was in A River Runs Through It.
Uh-huh.
And I guess this bear was like in a bunch of different things.
Yep.
But I don't know what kind of, but his name was Little Bart and his partner was Honey Bump. Are you surprised that I remember that?
Yes.
And like, no, because.
That was very specific.
It is very specific. Well, Brad Pitt was in the
documentary. No, I feel like you're pulling information out of the back of my brain right now that I
because
lay dormant in the...
No, well, because I got obsessed with, like, their little... Well, they're not little, but their paws, how cute they were, and I had a dog, Mulligan, at the time. So I named his front paws his Little Barts, and his back paws were his Honey Bumps.
That's what it was. That's why I've heard this before. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a little insight into me that nobody needed.
Has anybody seen the movie Grizzly Man?
Grizzly Adams?
No, what? Grizzly Man. It's a documentary by...
Oh, is that the guy that got killed by the...
Yes. Yeah. It's a documentary by Werner Herzog, and it's really interesting. But yeah, it's this guy who like lived with grizzlies and got killed by them.
Do you see that in the documentary?
No.
Oh, that's good. No.
But you hang out at the barber shop long enough, you're going to get a haircut, right?
Exactly. So to take this back to Jurassic Park, which I've been listening to on tape, right?
At least it's not the Beach Boys.
I've always thought for the longest time the coolest Jurassic Park movie, because the franchise has been floundering for a long time, let's just be honest, right? But the coolest Jurassic Park movie you could do would be a found footage Jurassic Park movie. And it's just about a guy who goes to live with the dinosaurs and study them. And it's footage that he makes of the dinosaurs. And then, you know, he gets killed.
Yeah.
That's it.
That sounds good.
I think that'd be super interesting.
You should write that script.
Yeah, okay.
And sell it to Michael Crichton and Chris Pratt.
That, along with the five other things I've said I'm writing for... years.
Yes, yeah. George R.R. Martin.
But can one of the dinosaurs be Little Bart and the other one Honeybone?
Yes,
please. Absolutely.
Okay, yes, then please. I'm in.
Could be. That then sounds more like a sequel or characters from The Land Before Time.
Aww. Aww. That's Dan's favorite movie. Yeah. He watched it every morning before school.
I thought it was Lord of the Rings. What the fuck, Daniel?
No, when I was a kid, have I ever told you this?
Yeah, I know you. How much?
When
you
I was know. A, yeah, when I was a kid, I had a little foot, Land Before Time, like stuffed animal, and he died, because his head popped off, because I hugged him too tight.
Mama and baby, and then
popped off. I literally watched that movie at least once a day for like a couple of years straight.
Yeah, I think we all had one of those movies when we were. Kids, I feel like we did. I think it's
mine were Elvis movies or Beach Blanket Bingo.
Elvis movies,
yeah.
Or Beach Blanket Elvis Bingo movies
and Beach Blanket Frankie and Annette.
Oh yeah. Okay, sorry.
Beach Blanket Bingo movies, because yeah. They were on every Saturday.
Yeah,
you would have the cartoons and they would roll into an Elvis movie or Beach Blanket Bingo.
See, that was the thing back then. We watched what we had. We didn't have all this.
Yes.
Speaking of watching what we have. Have you guys noticed Hulu has like 10 times more ads suddenly than they used to? It's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, mm-hmm. It's pissing me off.
And the same ones.
Ugh.
Over and over.
It's the same freaking ads.
Yeah,
over
you get
and
like
over.
2 minutes.
At least when it was cable, we would have a variety of ads, right? Right,
and you could DVR and skip like, over them.
Yeah. Now it's the same goddamn ads.
Yeah.
Every commercial break. It's so frustrating. Yeah,
and it's no, like every 4 minutes.
Totally about.
Seems like it.
Yeah, and they're long.
Yes.
I was talking to Coley about Quinn had a friend over today, and her friend. So Quinn watches like. gosh, she what she watches.
Probably shows that are maybe not completely appropriate for her.
No, they're not, like, super inappropriate. They're
like,
fine.
She's totally into, like, Liv and Maddie right now.
She watches a lot of tweeny
like tweeny kind of stuff,
shows.
Doogie Howser, MD, the original, and then the new remake with the girl in Hawaii.
She watched the original.
She did. We watched it together.
Yeah, but she doesn't choose to watch that.
No, she doesn't choose to watch that. Wizards of Waverly Place. Like, she's doing, like, all the old...
Yeah.
Like kind of Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon,
shows.
Disney, yep. Like tween shows.
Yep.
And she had this friend over today who's older than she is, like by a few months anyway. And she's like, what do you want to watch? And the friend was like,
Bluey.
I really like
nice.
Bluey.
Nice.
So they watched Bluey, which I have no problem with Bluey. I like Bluey, but Quinn never watches Bluey. And Bluey seems a little bit young for Quinn at this point.
Yeah.
But my point is, when we were kids, there was like a ubiquitousness to television, right? Everybody watched generally the same five channels.
That's what we had.
Right? Because that's what we had. And you watched the shows that were on those channels, and all your friends knew those shows. I could quote The Simpsons with all my friends, and you know, all my friends watched, as we got older, all my friends watched Friends and Seinfeld and, you know, South Park and Family Guy. And now it's like, there's so many different options. My poor daughter does not have, like, she doesn't have a friend that she can just, like, bond over a shared interest in a specific TV show. You know, they can't just get together every day at school and talk about this show that they both love.
Those water cooler moments. Like,
right. Like, my friend Tori and I watched Dirty Dancing every weekend that it was in the movie theater, and then as soon as it came on VHS, watched it every weekend. And it was, like, a topic of conversation. That and Top Gun were the two movies that, like, shaped that time in our lives. Like, we listened to the soundtracks, we talked about it, we, like, got perms to look like Kelly McGillis in Top Gun. I mean, like, it was everything.
And, like,
everything,
you didn't see every movie that came out that year. You saw fucking Top Gun.
Top Gun and Dirty Dancing. And then I have very vivid memories of baby Jessica falling down the well. And everybody talked about that. And, like, how she was rescued out of the well. You don't.
The news story.
Yeah.
No, that was a huge deal.
But, like, now, that was huge, right? Yeah. Everybody was just around the TV watching baby Jessica be pulled up from the well. Mm-hmm. But now we don't have that.
We saw the same thing in video games, too, right? Like everybody played, you know, Sonic or Super Mario World. And everybody played, you know, you got, like, a game every year. And that was the game you played. And now there's, like, these kids, like, there's, everybody wants to play every game that comes out, and, like, thousands of games come out every year. Like, last year, like, 100 freaking games came out with, like, Metacritic scores of 80 or up. And so, like, everybody feels like they have to play those games because they have to play what's hot and fresh.
Definitely oversaturation.
Like, last year's, Quinn's birthday last year is, like, a huge example of this. So she was obsessed with this TV show, Go.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's dubbed. I think it's, like, a Spanish probably show. Like, teen telenovela, right? And it was on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
I think it was on Netflix. And she was obsessed with it. So her birthday party was Go themed. I made a cake that said Go, like, that was the logo of Go, got her a shirt and everything. She was the only one of any of her friends that even knew what the show was. Nobody else had even heard of it.
Right.
And she was obsessed with it.
Huh. Yeah, I've never heard of it either.
It's Go Live Your Own Way, right?
Yeah.
Or Live Your Way.
Yeah.
Viva
something.
Something. Vive.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's just too much something. Shit now. That's okay.
Yeah, it's just overload.
But
anyway,
I feel like the common denominator for everybody is Taylor Swift right now.
Yeah.
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 Everybody relates to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, her birthday party was somewhat successful for that reason.
Yes, that's...
Anyway.
I just meant in general, like, in the world population, everybody can talk about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, whether you
everybody
hate her
knows
or
enough about Taylor Swift to at least make a comment, for sure.
Right.
It's so interesting that she's, like, peaking in popularity at this point in her life when she's not even that young anymore.
She's not that old either, though.
She's, like, mid-30s now, right?
Yeah. 35-ish.
Women age like a fine wine.
No, I'm just saying, like, kids... I'm surprised that young kids still think she's cool because she's... been doing this now for a long
time. It's not like she looks like she's 70, Daniel.
15 years.
Yeah, I know.
I know. True.
And she...
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, she she's great at selling herself. She's great at marketing. She's great at positioning herself. Yeah. So
she is.
And she makes catchy tunes that young kids like.
With now a lot of swears.
Well, yeah. So Midnights, we just got Quinn that CD, Midnights.
Oh, yeah. She's saucy these days.
It has this one song on it that's called Snow on the Beach. Oh. And the chorus of that song is, like, snow on the beach, really fucking beautiful.
What about the Sluts song?
Oh, yeah, there's the Slut song, too. Yep. Yep. The song that's just titled Slut.
Yeah, like, I haven't really heard the song too well, but I think it's probably got more kind of an empowering message, but just the title is like,
Yeah, it's about, like, slut shaming and stuff. And,
yeah.
And, yeah. And just calling girls names and presuming things about them and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Quinn thinks that it's really funny. Great because she just thinks she's so mature.
I was cool. Talking to somebody. Was it you guys?
Probably.
No, their kid had a thing where they were making like bracelets. But they were putting Taylor Swift song titles on them. And they all wanted to put Sluts on there.
Oh, so nope, not our kid.
There was, who was that? So anyway, like, maybe it was a Facebook thing I was having part of a conversation in. But anyway, that was the first time I'd ever actually heard of that song. So I had to look it up and I'm like, well, I mean, the song itself isn't bad, but yes. Like, if you're 8 years old and you don't really understand the whole context and you're just wanting to spell out slut on a friendship bracelet and exchange it with your other friend who spelled out slut for you, that's probably not a great thing.
So on Quinn's birthday or before her birthday, when her and I went to dinner, she asked if we could listen to that album and I said sure. So we listened to it on the way to dinner, and that song came on, and she's like, what is that word? And I was like, it's a bad word. And so then I had to explain what it meant, and I said, it's a word that girls, that people use to say, to insult girls who date a lot of people. And like, I was like, you know, some people call Taylor Swift that because she has had a lot of boyfriends, but it's a mean word. It's not a nice word. And that's all I said to her. And I said, it's a bad word. I don't want to ever hear you saying it. And we ended it at that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty good about, or at least when she's with us, like if a swear is in a song, she'll be like, not necessary, Taylor. Or like Lizzo's It's About Damn Time.
About Damn
and
Time.
She's like, bitch. She's like, unnecessary, Lizzo.
And then she's so with her friends and they're all like belting it out.
And then she's like just screaming it. Yeah. She's just jumping around and screaming it. But yeah. So I mean, we never swear in this house, so.
Fuck no.
Heck no. Never would have swore when I was a young child either.
It's funny. My parents never swore in front of us.
Really?
Oh, my mom never swore. The only time I ever heard my mother swear was the one time she had a phone conversation with my father when I was 8.
Right.
He had made me cry, and I didn't have a relationship with him. It was like one of the only phone conversations I had with him. She got on the phone with him and laid into him. There was words I had never heard before in my entire life. I had never heard her like that. I was like, what? But my mom doesn't swear. My mom hates when I swear.
She still listen to this show? Because she probably hates how much we swear on this
now
show.
I'm going to be trying to not do it as much. Yeah, I definitely grew up different than you guys. It was pretty commonplace in my family.
I think it's more commonplace with us.
It's definitely more commonplace with
it
us.
It used to just be
well, I mean, society
in the car, and now it's
it's more accepted in society in general now, right? Like,
right.
even when I was a little kid growing up, I knew my family did it, but I also knew that you weren't supposed to, right?
Right.
But I still, I don't at work, right? Like, I don't swear at work.
Mm. Yeah, I try not to, but I do sometimes.
I mean, when I was a floor nurse, yes. That's a different, we're a different breed.
But you got to swear when you're a floor nurse because that asshole in the kitchen's always pissing you off.
It's true. You won't bring that fucking tray that my guy withdrawing has been asking for 20 hours.
That's right. Put in a fucking diet order and I will.
I did. I fucking did. Still not coming. But now in my role, I do not swear at work.
I think the first time I ever really swore in front of Quinn was when I almost got us killed at the mall.
It's very parking lot. That's very true.
There was this guy, we were turning into the mall, and he cut in front of me. Like, I'm already in the turning lane. The turning lane's not very long, and he goes around me and cuts in front of me in the turning lane. And so, like, cuts me off. And so I slammed on my horn, and I'm swearing at him, and I'm flipping him off. And Quinn's in the back seat. She's pretty young. She's probably 5'4".
Yeah.
And then you're in the passenger seat. And the guy, flips me off from his car, and then somehow he gets behind me.
You went one way, he went the other. He turned to come and then got behind you.
Right.
And started following you through the parking lot.
Started
and
I was following
like, can we just leave?
Lot.
He's going to kill us. Like,
and so then I was like, well, I'm not going to park right now because I don't need to get in a fight with this guy. But I almost parked, and you were like, no, don't park. Because I was ready. I was like, I'll park, and I'm going to fuck this guy up. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, well, what if he's got a gun, you know? And I was like, all right, fine. So we just left, and we didn't go to the mall.
We just didn't even go at all.
We actually had to get something, too. Like, we weren't going for nothing.
We were going for
something.
For a welcome mat, which we have plenty of.
A welcome mat.
Miss changes a welcome mat every month.
You have to change the welcome mat. Like, every month has a theme.
Yeah, Daniel.
You have to change
it. And you don't reuse them either. Once they've been outside for a month, you're like, oh, it's all faded and gross now. I'm going to throw it out.
Well, at least you don't sell it on Marketplace and risk Daniel's life for somebody to come over and buy a... No. Live, love, laugh.
I mean, I put...
Fucking welcome mat for $4.
Nope. I put the St. Patrick's one out today.
No, it's very nice.
Because... Valentine's Day is over, so now we're going on to St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
And then Easter.
Yeah, I put my St. Patrick's.
And then June is just like spring. Yeah.
Then July's.
Hey, we've been talking for over 2 hours.
Yeah.
I need to go.
4th of July.
And then.
Then you just have a summer one.
Are we
going fall?
And then fall.
Then Halloween.
You have Halloween.
All right.
Then
Thanksgiving. Christmas.
And then winter.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Valentine's, and then St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, and St. Patrick's
Good
Day.
Night.
Okay, Daniel, don't forget to save and upload.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us tonight for this episode of course, we have a podcast. Give us a review on your favorite podcast platform. That'd be cool.
Yes.
I listen to other podcasts, and they always have this like perfectly rehearsed spiel that they do every episode.
You could do that if you wanted to, but that's what sets us apart.
I should
from
do
most
that,
people.
But
we
I don't do that.
We don't even have it. We don't have an introduction. We haven't even said the name of the show twice in the last 6 months. We
seriously.
We don't have a song. It's literally a show about
no,
nothing.
No, whose fault is that?
This is the Jerry Seinfeld the Seinfeld podcast. It's a show about nothing.
That's right. Yep. All right.
It's just the good monologues. Night. Except dialogues. Good night. Good day?